rain, and we're going to talk about the reign of God. Okay, and it's the R-A-I-N. It'll be a little different this morning. And one of the reasons for that is that as we study God's word, sometimes we get into these ruts where we think things have to be a certain way. Or in Christianity, so often we get so that we want things just laid out for us. If we just had bullet points on how to live our life and we could just stick to the top five or whatever, I guess God did 10. But if we could just stick to these things and live those out, that man, life would just be easier. It'd be great. But what I notice when reading the New Testament and reading Jesus and his stories and things that he shared and the way that he taught, he had some pretty practical stuff where he says, do unto others as they do unto you, or as you would have them do unto you, and those kind of things. But he also talked a lot in parables. Okay, a majority of the time in parables, he told stories that people had to apply faith in order to understand. And I think that's where we're going this morning. This message is something God laid it on my heart a few weeks ago and began speaking about faith, but you probably won't even hear the word faith as we go through this, because it's one of those things we want to be able to understand something that God is speaking, and we have to do that by faith. But let's start with some prayer this morning. Father, we are grateful to be here in your presence, here with your people. We're grateful to be able to join together, Father, in fellowship, in koinonia, and be able to let you truly bond the church together in a way that causes it to unite as a united flame, to be able to bring the fire of Jesus to this community. And Father, I pray that as we do this morning, that you'll use your word and help speak through in between the lines, help speak to us in ways that connect, ways that we can truly understand and be able to walk away with a sense of knowing that we have connected with you, Father. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, not too long ago, I read an article that was very interesting. It was in, I think it was Crosswalk Magazine. They send me a link to their magazine I think it's weekly, the emails are at least. And one of the things that I saw in there was pretty interesting. It was an article that talked about the typical complaints that people voice within a church. Okay, and I thought, oh, that sounds interesting. Open that article and I start reading on it. But what stood out to me, okay, I think the whole article itself would probably make a great sermon sometime on just things that people get upset about. And it was mainly directed at the pastor and whatever. So it was interesting for me to read through it. But one of the things that stood out to me was not what people were complaining about, but it was who was doing the complaining. Okay, and it kind of stood out because this guy had done the research on it and figured out, okay, the majority of the people that were complaining or griping kind of unfounded concerns were not the spiritually minded members of the body. Okay, they were not the seekers. They were not the ones that were constantly pursuing God and had this relationship with him. But what their study had found was that it was the carnal, the worldly, okay, the ones that had one foot in the world, one in the church, or maybe barely had a foot in the church kind of thing. Or actually what they did was they broke it down to two categories, and they said there are the unsaved, okay, those that basically are in church because they came with a believing spouse, or they came with a friend that had kind of invited them and they chose to come along with them. And then there were the unspiritual, okay? So there's these two groups, the unsaved and the unspiritual, okay? And this was the other group that was making a lot of these complaints, okay? Those are the people that are saved, but they come just inside the gates of the kingdom of heaven, and they take a seat, and they have no ambition to go any deeper with God than that. Okay, that was what he classified as unspiritual. People that come into the kingdom of God and plant themselves that, yes, I'm saved, I'm in the kingdom, but they choose to never really press in to the things of God. Okay, he called them unspiritual. Well, this message today is for those that are in that latter category. Okay, you are saved, on your way to heaven, but your passion for the Lord is lacking. Okay, you know enough to get by, but deep revelation might require some serious change in your life. And up to now, your selfish ambition has outweighed your spiritual desire for more of God. Okay, and then I say it, I know that's pretty blunt. I said it was going to be a year where I'm going to say what needs to be said. But there are so many people that get in the kingdom and then stop and plant their feet and I'm in, but this is as far as I'm going. And they don't want to cross that next line, that next level to get deeper in with God and allow Him to truly make some change in your life. Because that requires that I'm going to have to bear myself before my God and say, even though He already knows me anyway, but it's when I step over and I say, God, this is me. Do what You want to do in my life. And when we do that, we cross that line into a deeper place with God. Okay, now I'm convinced that those kind of people, here's where this is going, because I'm convinced that I could preach until I'm blue in the face. I could speak until I don't have any breath left, and they would never go deeper in with God. I'm convinced that I could preach until I'm red in the face, okay, with passion and zeal and scream it out and shout the house down, and they would still not take one more step deeper into the kingdom of God. What it will take to get those people deeper into the kingdom is for them to have an overwhelmingly moving experience of the Holy Spirit in their life. Something that cannot be denied. Something that was not just good preaching, but something that was a move of God in their life. And when they have those moments, something changes. Something softens. Something real happens down inside of their heart. Okay, now I'm talking about a wave of the Holy Spirit coming upon you that you cannot deny. You cannot say that wasn't God. You'll be convinced that that was an act of God doing something in my life. It is a moment in God's presence that knocks you off of your solemn chair and causes you to truly experience the fullness of God. It is something that, I'll say, will cut through the resistance that you have built up. It is something that can't be explained away. Okay, now, just so you know, if you feel like maybe you're in that category, those are the experiences that I am praying for you. Just know that. I want you to have those moments with God. I have those moments with God on a regular basis. Yesterday, I was just sitting in my chair. I was listening to a song. I was reading the Word, and I turned a song on that I wanted to listen to, and I'm listening to that, and all of a sudden, I had one of those moments with God. I burst into tears. I'm babbling like a baby to my God, saying, God, this, and just having a real conversation. Okay, that's probably the third time in a week. Okay, I have those moments. And I am fully convinced that those kind of moments are profoundly important in the life of every single believer. Those are real moments with God. That's not going to church. That's not reading your Bible. That's not, you know, being holy. That's not all those things that we know that we ought to do too. These are real moments with God. It's an experience you'll never forget. You can't let go of. You'll hang on to and always remember and recall those moments in your life. Now today, I want to share with you about the reign of God. Okay, and it's not going to be step-by-step instructions on how to go deeper with God. Okay, it's going to be more like those parables of Jesus. It's going to be something that in the natural, it coincides with the spiritual. And that's what Jesus did. He gave very practical examples of things or discussions and said no more about it. He just gave those experiences or those stories, and the people had to take from it. They had to draw from it. That's the Spirit of God that helps people to do that. Okay, now I'm speaking of rain, okay, this R-A-I-N, because I believe when the floodgates are opened, okay, when God pours himself out upon you, that you are going to find it very, very difficult to resist the Holy Spirit's power. You'll be in that moment of, oh my God, this is God, a true OMG, right? Okay, a true moment. And I also believe that when we get to the end of this message this morning, we're going to sing a song together. And I believe that when we sing that song, asking God to let it rain, calling down His power into our lives, that you are going to feel something that some of you have never experienced before. It's like God is sweeping you off of your feet and taking you to a new place with Him. Does that sound good to anybody? It sounds wonderful to me to be in a place where my feet are off the ground. I'm in the river and just going where God wants to take me. I can't think of anything more beautiful than that. Those are precious times. First, let's start with kind of an understanding of what the reign of God is all about. I jotted down 8 things that I see taking place when God pours himself out upon his people. The first one, number one, the reign of God is refreshing. And I think it's Acts 3:19 that says the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Okay, the presence of the Lord. That's what we're after. Those are those moments. This is not seeking the hand of God or wanting him to do something in your life. This is not asking for him to do a miracle thing. I need money. I need, you know, healing. I need whatever. This is seeking the presence of God. Okay, getting into that audience with him. The Bible tells us that in the presence, in his presence, is fullness of joy. Okay? In his presence is peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. God is telling us in him is peace. In his presence is satisfaction. Okay, you ever get frustrated with life? Don't know why things are happening this way or that way? In his presence, there is satisfaction, a completeness, a contentment. And in his presence, there is love. God is love, right? That's what comes when he pours himself into your life. Okay, have you ever heard the expression, yeah, I'll go with you, but let me go freshen up a bit. Okay, freshen up. Okay, where we want to, you know, spruce ourselves up a little bit. We've been out working all day. It's been a long day. Okay, and yet we have to go out, or somebody's asking us to go do something with them. And yeah, I'll go with you, but just let me freshen up a little bit. Okay, we go, we splash water on our face, or you comb your hair. Hopefully you put deodorant on, those kind of things. And you get yourself freshened up a little bit, so that you can go along, so that you can go do the next thing that God is having you to do. Okay, that refreshing is what the reign of God does in your life. And that refreshing is what we need on a daily basis. I need to be refreshened to go out and do the next thing that God is calling me to do. Okay, that is that freshening. You know, in this part of the country, you talk about rain. Rain is very important to us in this part of the country. We're considered to be a high desert, right? So it doesn't rain a lot. But when it does rain, we take note of it. It is something that is a welcomed sight. I love the rain. To have an actual thunderstorm once in a great while is great. We love those, right? It means that things are going to perk up. Okay, I know when it's raining in the middle of the summer, things are going to change. It is going to look brighter tomorrow. The grass is going to be a little bit greener. Okay, the grass will grow overnight when it gets a little rain. It is amazing to see what happens. The sagebrush that we have so much of actually re-greens and turns this darker shade of green that just sort of glows. Okay, the birds tweet. Okay, they love that rain. Some of them will stay out in it and play in it, and they'll just tweet and they sing these songs of joy. It's like, whoo, it's finally raining. Okay, the ducks get happy. They splash in the puddles and they start quacking out their songs of glee. You know, we have ducks on a farm out there, so we see that. But it's something that you know that everything has just gotten better. Everything just got fresher. Okay, and so that rain of God comes with this sense of joy, that this anticipation that tomorrow's going to be a little bit better. Okay, or later today, you know, as it is in our part of the country, it rains and then later the sun's out. Okay, so that happens, and that's what we know, that later today is going to be better because of the rain of God. Okay, number two, when you receive God's rain, now this is about receiving it, not just that he's pouring it out, but when you actually receive God's rain, it means that you are taking in the blessing of God. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 7 says it this way. This is King James, says, "For the earth, which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and brings forth herbs meet for them for whom it is dressed, receives blessings from God." Okay, that same verse in the Amplified says it this way. It says, "For the soil, which has drunk the rain that repeatedly falls upon it and produces vegetation useful for those benefit it is cultivated, partakes of a blessing." And I think I have one more in the English Standard that says it this way. "For the land that has drunk the rain that often falls on it and produces a crop useful to those for whose sake it is cultivated receives a blessing from God." Do you see that? The land receives a blessing from God. Okay, the land receives a blessing from God when it rains on it. In other words, the rain of God is not just something that is much needed in our life, something that we like to see, but it is something that we should desire. Okay, it is the favor, it is the blessing of God falling down upon us, allowing us to produce something useful, something productive for somebody else. That is the rain of God upon our life. It is refreshing, and it is something that helps nourish us as we take in the blessing of God. Number three, the rain does something pretty profound here. It separates wisdom from folly. Okay? What is of God and what is not of God? Wisdom does that. Rain does that. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, Jesus said this, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Okay, the rain of God will help you to know what you have built your life on. Okay, the rain washes away the loose stuff so that only that which is solid remains. Okay, now out at Fort Steele there, I take care of that historical site in the summers, and one of the first years I started working out there, the superintendent said, "Hey, this road, this kind of winding road that goes up to this building on the hill, he said, it's kind of narrow and it has potholes or whatever. See if you can do something with that. And so they had piled a semi-load of rock out there for me and all this stuff. So I used scoop after scoop with the tractor, and I loaded up that road with all this rock, and I kind of made it so it had this slant to it, thinking that when it rained, the rain would all kind of wash off the edge. I made it wider. I did a bunch of stuff to it. Well, a couple years ago, after doing that, a lot of the rock that I laid on there was pretty loose. Okay, it was just kind of loose rock that needed to be packed down. A couple years ago, we got a gully washer, as my wife calls them, big rain, and we got quite a bit at one time, a couple inches at one big shot, and it started a flood that went down, and it got to my road and just took all that rock, and it was like it just lifted it up and moved it to the ditch. And so you drive on that road, and here's this bare spot where there's just this little ditch now because all that loose rock was moved off of there. Okay, my point is that when the rains come, the rain of God will move all that loose stuff out of the way. Now, I didn't want that rock moved, but I should have made it solid. I should have packed it down. I should have even put my own water on it, okay, and put dirt in with the rock or whatever, all these things. I'm not a construction guy. I was just doing my best. But the point is that the rain of God will help separate what is loose and what is solid. Okay, and I think that can be a very good thing to get some of the junk out of your life so that you can live life to the fullest. If it's not of God, it's not built on the rock, it's not solid, I don't really need it. I'd rather not have it. So let the rain of God wash that away. Now, building your life upon the solid rock of Christ is how you know that it will remain. Okay, and an outpouring of God will help you to know instantly where you're at. Okay, that's those moments we have with the outpouring of God. Number four, the downpouring of rain starts with a small cloud of hope. Okay, some of you remember there's a good story in the Bible that talks about a time when there had been a drought for 3.5 years, and Elijah the prophet tells King Ahab that he hears, he tells him, prepare for rain because I hear an abundance of rain in my spirit. Okay, in other words, he knew something was coming. So then Elijah goes up on top of Mount Carmel and he puts his face between his knees in prayer. Then he tells his servant, hey, go up there to the crest of the mountain and look toward the sea. So his servant goes and he quickly comes back and he says, I don't see anything. So Elijah does it again. Sends his servant up to the top of the mountain. He comes back and says, I don't see anything. Sends him up to the top of the mountain again and says, I don't see anything. Sends him again and sends him again and prays and sends him again. And 6 times that servant came back and said, I just don't see anything. But the 7th time, that servant comes back and he says, I see a small cloud coming up out of the sea, but it's only about the size of a man's hand. And Elijah says, that's it. Go and tell King Ahab to get down off this mountain, because if he doesn't move now, when the rain starts, he won't be able to move. He's going to be stuck up here. And the rain came just like Elijah said it would come. It started when he heard and anticipated an abundance of rain in his spirit. Okay, it was like his spirit was yearning for the things of God. Okay, yearning for the rain of God to come into his life. I like the way the psalmist said it when he said, deep calleth unto deep. In other words, there's something deep within you that calls to the deep things of God. There is something in you that yearns for God. It yearns for the ways, the knowledge, the understanding, the revelation, the anointing. It yearns for the power and the manifestation of God's glory in your life. Deep calls unto deep. And that's what was going on in Elijah's life. That little cloud the size of a man's hand was all that he needed to know. He had told others to prepare for the rain. Okay, he prayed for the rain, and then with expectancy, he anticipated that that rain was coming. Okay, that small cloud was like a little spark of hope. That's all he needed, and now he knows it's all coming to pass. Okay, I believe if you will anticipate God stirring up a small bit of hope, okay, it starts with anticipating the hope before you anticipate what you're hoping for. Okay, ask God to stir up something. Raise up some hope in me for something bigger, better. Okay, you'll see the glory of God manifest in your life. Number five, the reign of God will come on all and will not discriminate. Some people, you're counting yourself out, thinking, yeah, that reign of God sounds great for you, Pastor. But I want to tell you, it's for all of us. Matthew 5:44, Jesus said, I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, so that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends the rain on the just and on the unjust. Okay, if you're waiting until you're living right for the power and the presence of the Lord to show up in your life, you do not need to wait any longer. Okay, let me say that again. If you're waiting till you're living right, got everything right in your life, before the power and presence of the Lord can manifest, you do not need to wait any longer. God sends his rain on the just and the unjust. That means he will meet you where you're at. He will pour it on you right now where you're at in your life. Number six, the reign of God replenishes your life. You know, rain in the natural is what takes the nutrients deep down into the soil. It's what gets them down to the roots. Okay, without the rain, there can be very, very little fruit produced. Okay, ever plant a garden and not water it? It does not grow very well. Okay, as a farmer growing up in South Dakota, we prayed for rain every single year. Because once the crops are in, once the seeds are planted, you have to have moisture. Okay, you can, and I want you to get this. This is the most spiritual thing you're going to hear all day. You can do everything right. You can plant the seeds at the right time. You can plant the seeds at the right depth. You can add the right amount of fertilizer. You can cultivate out all the weeds. But if you do not get rain, that crop will not produce. That rain is the difference between plenty and lack. As farmers growing up, we knew that full well. If it doesn't rain, we're going to be lucky to get 15 bushels the acre out of that, or whatever. We knew it was going to be bad if we didn't get rain. But when we got the rain at the right times, everything looked better. Okay, life just looked that much more appealing. Number seven, the rain is cleansing. Cleansing. Ever think of a rain if you have a dirty car? Okay, I noticed the top of, shouldn't throw him under the bus here, but my son's car was very dirty. And the other day we got, this was snow and kind of a rain, snow stuff, and it came down. And the next morning I went out and the whole top of his car was fairly clean. That had melted off, okay, and it took with it the dirt that was underneath it. Okay, rain is what washes away the filth. It takes away the dust and the grime, and it causes us to shine. Okay, now we want to live right and get the stuff out of our lives that is not godly. And the reign of God helps to do that. Those moments with God will help to do that. You know, just like an old car, if you've ever noticed one that has kind of faded paint and all that, when it's raining, that car looks brand new. It makes it look all shiny and like it looks good, and then it dries out and it goes back to that kind of faded state. Well, the rain brightens your countenance. Okay, while it is raining on your life, it's like that car that looks brighter and sharper while it's raining. You look brighter and sharper too when you're under the reign of God. Okay, and number eight, the last one. After the rain comes the rainbow. Anybody ever seen a rainbow? Anybody ever seen two? Four. That's a record. Four is good. Four is the more the merrier. After the rain comes the rainbow. Okay, now a rainbow is a sign from God, if you remember. It's reminding him and us about the covenant between us. Okay, if you remember the flood, you guys following me? Noah builds an ark, and it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. And when things finally began to dry out, God converses with Noah, and he has this conversation with him. Genesis 9:12 says, "And God said, 'This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token or a sign of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth.'" The rainbow is awesome. When you get to that after the storm, you know that it's pretty well done. This is the good part. Now the refreshing, now the shining, now the all these things start to happen. All that joy, the ducks are going to be quacking, the birds are going to be chirping. We get to that point when we see the rainbow. We know that God has done something to get to that point. But in order to get to the rainbow, the rains must first come. The rain is like a, you know, it sort of resets the earth where all the ungodly perish and only the righteous remained. Remember that 40-day thing? That's what it was for. It was resetting things. God said, if I remember, like he said, "I have repented of making man. They've messed some things up to the point I need to do something." And he had it rain for 40 days and 40 nights, and all the ungodly were destroyed, and Noah and his family were deemed righteous and found grace, the Bible says, in God's sight, and they remained. A massive amount of rain like that is what it takes to cleanse our lives, to make it so that only the righteous remain. Okay, only righteousness will remain. We need the rain of God to come. Okay, we want the reign of God to come. We have to have the reign of God to come. So let's ask him for it this morning. Okay, let's cry out to God this morning through song. I want to sing a song. It's by Michael W. Smith, and